cheer you on.
Well, she always gives me good, good looks. She had a friend, down that was popular.
Yeah, right.
I'd like to welcome everyone today at the Bids and Purchases Committee, Monday, July 1st, 2019, at 8:30 a.m. Trust that everyone had a good weekend and hope you're looking forward to a good 4th of July with your friends and family. First item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes from the June 4th, 2019 meeting. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the minutes of the June 4th meeting. Is there any other discussion? Hearing none, we'll vote. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Passes unanimously. Second item on the agenda is public comments. Is there anyone here who would like to make any public comments? Y'all are talking a bunch. The third item on the agenda is the traffic signal preemption software and hardware to support fire response. Mr. DeMora, Ms. Kudoff, who's taking
it? Yes, sir. I'll kick it off. We have a big day today, a lot of information. Staff's ready. We have the fire chief available on this first item and Mr. Peel on the second. But Marcy's going to lead us. So go ahead, Marcy.
Yes, good morning. Three firms responded to the town's RFP for traffic signal preemption, software and hardware to support fire response. This will include design, provision of service, and installation of software and hardware that will fully integrate with 61 existing traffic signals infrastructure and the fire department's 25 emergency response vehicles. The selection committee unanimously selected Temple Incorporated. Staff therefore recommends contracting with Temple Incorporated in the amount of $294,500 for traffic signal preemption software and hardware to support fire response.
Committee?
Was there a bid or anything? Do we know the...
Yes, sir. We went out and we had three companies respond.
Okay, and they were the best.
And this was the lowest, most responsive, responsible bidder.
Good. Thank you.
I think we can kind of all... Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Ms. Lammy.
Sorry. I think we can all see how this works, but can somebody just explain it just so everybody's on the record?
Yes, ma'am. So the software in the vehicles, it's tied to when their sirens go on and also their flasher. So if they're turning left or right, as they come up, it's going to hit signal, and then it will take the traffic lights, turn them so that gives them the green, and then the traffic lights will reset after they've gone through.
Thank you.
Chief, have you witnessed any of this preemptive measures by other departments around the country?
Yes, sir. The closest one is Hilton Head. And they've used it for years. They use a different company, but they're able to take a patient all the way from their Hilton Head all the way to Savannah without ever hitting a traffic light. So for us, obviously, we don't transport patients, but just the ability to flush traffic on 17 and the major arteries, we think that's going to help response time. It's going to be safer for us and the citizen because it's going to get them out of the way and allow us to not have to part the seas, if you will, to get to where we're going. But yeah, it's been very effective across the country, and we're hoping we're kind of the jumping-off point for Charleston County, that other agencies like Charleston County EMS, the City of Charleston, even CARTA can kind of start to tie into this and use us as a model to put it throughout the entire county. That's really our goal.
So currently they don't have anything?
No, sir. We're the first one in the area.
Good. Glad to hear it.
Thank you.
Mr. Santos?
Well, I was just going to say, speaking of parting the seas, too often now I see with the alarms, the sirens going off, whether it's the ambulance or the fire truck, people will just not stop and let them through. They'll ride by and look at the truck and like, oh, wow, there's a fire truck. Although the fire truck's trying to get out, they're doing that. Do we have any, I mean, is there a law against people not stopping for fire trucks in emergency vehicles? Is there any, I don't know whether we can do an education thing for newer people who have moved here or whatever, but I live right off of the connector, Isle of Palms connector, so I'm right at that major intersection, and you can't believe how many people, the ambulance has to stop and let people go by. They won't stop and let the ambulance out or the fire truck. And
I think you're right. We've done education piece in the past, and it's probably something we need to revisit, especially as we roll this out, because we also need to educate the public on what this technology is going to mean for them. And the really neat thing about this company is they are in in development stages of an app right now that will kind of like Waze that will alert you if an apparatus is coming behind you, so that even if your radio's on or whatever, it'll cue you that, hey, look around, a truck is on the way. But yeah, we do need to educate again and get people to move over. As far as the law, not necessarily. We're, as far as the fire department, we're requesting the right-of-way, but I think education can go a long way in kind of helping people realize where they're supposed to go. Because a lot of times they get nervous. Do I go left? Do I go right? Like, and they just kind of stop in the middle. So yeah. We will push that out education-wise again.
Ms. Lanning?
Yes. Did I hear you say, Chief, that it's not on EMS, so there would there be a way to add that so that...
Yeah, absolutely. So all they would really have to do is add the piece on their vehicles, and then they can tie into our system. Same with CARTA, you know, what other fire departments, the police department eventually if they want to do the same thing. So, yeah, once it's in the traffic cabinets, it's as simple as putting it in their vehicle.
Seems like we would want all first responders to be able to use this.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Committee, do we have a motion?
Go ahead. I make a motion that we approve the selection of Temple, Inc., to provide the software package, preemption software package for signaling, as well as hardware to support fire response in the amount of $294,500.
Second.
We have a motion and second to approve the motion as stated. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
Fourth item on the agenda is the award of contract for stormwater repair and rehabilitation for Mallard Lakes, the Heritage or Heritage Subdivision, Shimwood 2, and Shim Drive.
Yes, sir.
Cut off.
The fiscal year 2020 budget includes the annual $1.5 million in pipe repair and rehabilitation. The Public Services Department has identified 8,760 linear feet of cured-in-place pipelining rehabilitation work in the Mallard Lakes, the Heritage Subdivision, Shimwood 2, and Shim Drive.
Could you give me the linear footage again, please?
8,760.
Okay.
It's staff's recommendation, and those areas are shown in yellow. The one to your right, just the beginning of it on Shim Drive is incorporated, but those are the areas where the rehabilitation will be performed. So it's staff's recommendation that this work be performed using the town's on-call stormwater repair and rehabilitation service contract utilizing Southeast Pipe Survey Incorporated in the amount of $1,050,676.
Committee, Ms. Lanning?
Yes, I was taking a look at this over the weekend. I couple questions. One is, I know that this is our on-call primary contractor. It is a lot of money, and obviously it's budgeted that way. But do we periodically go back and have competitive bids just to make sure Southeast is still our best choice?
Yes, ma'am. We went out for 1 year with 4-year renewals, so term of 5 years, and each different type of company under each type of methodology submitted the per linear foot amount, and that's what we utilize. So in the end of the 5 years, we'll go back out again, and we pick and choose which company, sometimes just depending on what their specialty is.
Okay. And then the other question I had was not having the technical knowledge of this, I'm just asking it for more of a neighborhood reason. So in talking about the lining of these pipes, I imagine we have to stop whatever's going through the pipe, I guess obviously stormwater, and also how much will this affect the neighborhood traffic in these areas?
So the first thing they do is they do camera them,
mm-hmm.
And look at it, and then they go back out. But I'm going to have to look to...
Jody's right behind you.
Basically,
sometimes we have to plug mm-hmm. and pump the dry, and then it's usually about two trucks that are parked on the side of the road that puts the liner in and runs from box to box. Mm-hmm. So it's not really much of an inconvenience to the residents. We've done this throughout the town, very little complaints. But it's the system that we've been using for the past 3 years now, and it's done very well for us.
Great. Thank you for that explanation.
Mr. Santos?
Mr. Chair, I make a motion that we approve contracting with Southeast Pipe Survey Incorporated in the amount of $1,050,676 to perform the pipe linings in these subdivisions and streets, as mentioned by staff. This amount's based on the unit pricing established in the on-call agreement between the Town of Mount Pleasant and Southeast Pipe Survey Incorporated.
I'll second that.
Before we call for the vote, I'd like to ask Jody and maybe Ms. Kordoff, when we look at different vendors, Southeast being one of them, being the primary here, do we go back and look at any of the maintenance that has occurred in the past to ensure that Southeast's product is second to none and that we are maintaining the best quality possible?
Yes, sir, we do. Yes,
sir. Okay, great. Thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve the contracting with Southeast Pipe Surveying Incorporated. And a second, do we have surveying incorporated?